Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Let's see. She keeps digging herself deeper into a hole, and we'll just keep talking about it and informing you folks all about it. All right, welcome to the show. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health-centered dentistry, and especially Mercury Free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I, of course, am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me once again today is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We got Pete Paquette on the bridge. Jeff Sinis and Nick LeCicero are still out. They'll be back in a day or two, but we're in good hands with Pete on the bridge. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, just give us a call at 407-774-8255, and he'll take good care of you. All right, we're going to take good care of the news here as we dish it out here to you folks. Some of it's going to be very unpleasant tonight, though. There's a new Planned Parenthood video out, and it ain't pretty, you know, but we will have to talk about it at least a little bit. And don't forget, this weekend, the rally going on downtown, rally against funding Planned Parenthood, 10 a.m. Saturday morning, Citrus Bowl, right across the street, Tampa Avenue, will be the clinic. So I'm sure if you don't know exactly where it is, just go down to the Citrus Bowl. When you see the crowd, you'll know you're in the right place. And we'll talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton. I got a new nickname. This one's for George Soros. Do you remember the Rocky and Bullwinkle series?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that the one where they had Mr. Peabody?
That's exactly right. We'll get the origination of this name for this joker.
I'm telling you, wait till
they hear this story. If you're an Obama fan or you're a Green Energy, this is going to turn your stomach.
Yeah, it certainly will. Scott Miller is going to check in a little bit later on. He's got some more of his informal poll numbers, which are remarkably similar to the poll numbers that we see that CNN and Fox are doing. And CNN has another poll number out. More good news for Moby Dick. More bad news for his Ahabs, who seem to be becoming more and more obsessed with somehow bringing down this Moby Dick. That's, of course, my nickname for Donald Trump. And some great news out of the UN about the Iranian deal.
Oh, this is going to be exciting, Chris. When they hear this, I'll tell you, I can see the people dancing in the streets. Oh, no, wait, that was the people in Tehran that were dancing in the streets, not the people in America. And this is going to make the people in America probably throw up in the streets when they hear this story.
It should. Anyway, that is a fact. Before we get really rolling here, I see you got your Penn State NFLPA really nice shirt on there.
Chris, I'm styling and profiling. You know.
You've got your hair combed.
I know. Six times a year we have our get-together. It's our meeting / party.
Yeah.
And we'll probably have about 35 to 40 former NFL players out there tonight. This will be down at Harry Buffalo's, which is right on Church Street.
Used to be Church Street Station.
That's right. And we'll discuss some of the issues for at least a minute and a half. And Harry Buffalo's was very kind to entertain us. They provide excellent cuisine dining,
right?
Chicken wings and all the other types of foods. Plus, there'll be a few pops here or there. But it's actually a good collection because it gives us a chance actually to organize all the upcoming charity events we're in, because we just completed that Wounded Warrior event, which we had 250 golfers, including our 35 players, and we're actually going to go national with that in a much bigger way. But we have a giant bowling event coming up at the end of the month for charity. Then we got another golf tournament on the 18th for Give Kids the World. Then we got another one up Special Olympics the next day up in Ocala. You know, it's a rough life, Rich. You know, you just, yeah. I don't know you, if you,
you
understand.
Get real tough. You're going to Chicago in September.
Oh, I don't like going to Chicago.
That's the end of this month, actually.
Yeah, I'm going up there for 3 days. We bring in all our NFL chapter presidents from around the country, and then we talk about, you know, how to build a better, I don't call it a union, a better organization. And, you know, hopefully they'll listen to me and then they'll be a lot more effective at what they do. Yeah. If they don't, then, you know.
Well, hey, you're the union boss. They got to listen to you, right?
The boss man.
Real quick, the NFL football news. Tom Brady left court to go back to training camp with the Patriots, and there's still no resolution to the Deflategate affair. And it is, you would think the NFL would want to wrap this thing up and get it over with before the season starts. I mean, but we're already in preseason.
What I think is amazing is here you have a $1 billion industry. You know, revenues this year will probably be $14 billion, right?
Right.
You got a millionaire many times over quarterback. And the two men cannot resolve the problem between them. They just got to fight like little kids. And the reality of it is, though, what actually happened that caused this is in the last collective bargaining agreement in 2011, the NFLPA and they just forgot to negotiate in what would happen if there was a grievance, you know, that
of this nature.
And the problem is Goodell became judge, jury, everything.
Dictator.
So what happens is, as you could see, he dictated what the fine was. He dictated the punishment to Brady, and the Player Association had no say. Well, wait a second. We can sue. So reality is, here we go. And I personally think it will be resolved right before the season. I know the Bills play him in the first four games, so I hope he's stuck. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I hope the cooler heads prevail and, you know, we see a resolution that will make everybody happy, which that never happens. So, you know, I don't know.
We shall see. All right. When we shall see more and more of the Hillary Clinton scandal, that's for sure. She spoke yesterday in a press conference that was prior to, I believe, an event. Might have been just after an event in Las Vegas where hardly anybody turned up. This was an advertised event open to the public, essentially. I mean, you know, you still have to get a ticket, but anybody can do this. Anybody can go.
Wonder if they're washing foundation money out there.
I don't know.
Imagine her walking in with about $10 million, rolling them through the chips, right, and then rolling them back out.
Who knows?
I know. Wouldn't be surprised.
It was a dismal crowd, especially when you consider the crowds that Bernie Sanders is drawing. But she spoke in a little press conference and got into a little tit for tat, if you will, with Ed Henry. And he was, of course, asking her about the server and the emails. And she said everything from, we turned over everything work-related. Now, see, here's part of the problem. How do we know that?
She's mincing sentences and words.
What she's saying is that we are the ones who determined what we were going to allow you to see. And in our opinion, what you aren't seeing was not work-related. But how do we know that? See, that's the first serious question to her credibility. She said everyone does it. Of course, that's the Clinton mantra.
Yeah, that's everybody does it.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Monica, everybody does it.
And it happens all the time, right? And they volunteered everything. They haven't volunteered a single thing. And she said that the email scandal has nothing to do with her, that it is an interagency issue. So basically what she's doing, and then there was the question about wiping the server. And she said, what, with a cloth?
Oh, well, that's real funny.
And she said she doesn't understand how it all works. Now, this is the woman who, of course, just a day or two prior made a joke about the Snapchat business, right?
Right.
All right. So, but we'll go ahead and take the break, and we'll pick it up here when we left off, when we come back, I should say, where we left off, because this is, she has basically, I think, signed her own death warrant in terms of her candidacy.
Don't you see panic every time? I love it when they bring all the experts in from the they know it's over. It's over. Clean the stage. Let's start anew.
Every time she opens her mouth, big trouble comes out. We'll be right back.
We don't need no education.
We don't need no thought control.
As in the classroom.
Keep my daytime job, right, Chris?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, buddy. You know.
Okay. Welcome back to the show, folks. Yeah, there's some new student loan news out. So, you know, we'll be talking about that in just a second. That's why we pulled up that Pink Floyd. Hey!
Actually, I dedicated We Don't Need No Education to Al Sharpton, so come on.
Leave them kids alone. All right, so welcome back to the show. Thanks, Pete. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got Aubrey Kahn on the line, so let's take Aubrey's phone call, then we'll get back to the Hillary and then the student loan sharking, I think we can start calling it.
Yeah.
Aubrey, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, we're doing good. Chris, just one quick word of advice for you, if you don't mind.
Okie doke.
Don't sing.
Okay, Aubrey, I won't.
But I heard Big Mike is on the mic over there.
Was I on key? Did I sound like I was on key?
Yeah,
we don't need
that
no
was him singing,
education.
By the way.
Mike, you did that a whole lot better than Chris does.
Oh, well, thanks. All right. I get the message.
But, you know, Big Mike's the union boss there. I'm concerned that Big Mike's on conservative talk radio because the unions usually donate to Democrats.
Yeah, but see, he happens to be the union boss of a union of mostly, you know, millionaires or former millionaires, right? Who understand high taxes and things like that.
I can't give him too much lip because he won't send Uncle Luigi to sort me out. He's got all that muscle from the football union.
Now, we actually have conservatives in the union. You know, it's a motley crew, but like any organization should be, so... Yeah.
You know, Mike, I was listening to you earlier telling us on how hard you're working with all these golf trips. I'm wondering when you're going to be too tired and retire.
No, it's killing me. It's hurting my tennis.
The only person that plays more golf than Mike McBath, besides the pros, is Barack Hussein Obama.
And I pray that I'm better than him. If I'm not better than him, I'm never playing again. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, I'd pay to see that one.
Wouldn't you, though?
I tell you.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Maybe it was Mike that sent the cloth to Hillary so she could wipe the server clean.
Yeah. Let's hope that's what she was wiping with it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks, Aubrey.
Enjoying the show. Have a good night, folks.
You do as well. All right. Of course, that's Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections. You need a home inspector, that's your man, and he's coming off the job right now. OrlandosHomeInspector.com is where you can find Aubrey Kahn. To finish up with Hillary, and then we'll get to the student loan mess. This press conference yesterday revealed Hillary Clinton's criminal defense strategy. And she's going to need one, all right? Believe me, a lot of people don't think that this is going to go to through the criminal justice and no indictment and all that. I don't know that she'll be indicted, but there's going to be some serious grand jury type stuff going on, okay? This is not going to be, simply swept under the rug. It's too far along for that. So she knows that. So basically her only defense is to play ignorant. And there's reason for that, because as much as this seems out of the ordinary, if she can prove that she didn't really know what was going on or she didn't really know what was classified and she just really was stupid, that can be a legitimate criminal defense for this type of thing.
But, Chris, I thought that you were, part of it is you're assumed to know it because you are involved with it, and in her case, you are head of it. So, you know, from my understanding, if that information is there and it is considered confidential, she is guilty.
Well, this is why she's playing stupid.
But she plays that normally.
Well, I know, but this is a legal defense strategy that is being played right now, and she has to play this because she's assuming that this is going to go through the Justice Department's full process and that she's going to be called in on the carpet, either in front of a grand jury or in front of a judge. And so she's going to have to be consistent with her story. All right. And there, as I said, there is some reasoning behind this, some legal reasoning. Michael Mukasey, who was the former attorney general in the last one during the Bush administration and was a district judge before that, a federal judge, he wrote an article for the Saturday and Sunday Wall Street Journal called Clinton Defies the Law and Common Sense. And there's one paragraph where he says, and he talks about all this stuff, okay? And then he says, all of this is not to suggest that Mrs. Clinton is in real danger of going to jail anytime soon. All of these laws require at least knowing conduct. In other words, she must have known somehow what she was doing was wrong. And the obstruction statute requires specific intent to impede at least a contemplated proceeding. Now, this is the one where it gets a little more dicey for her, because by wiping it clean, that appears to be obstructing. And, of course, she knew that there was problems with Benghazi before she even left the State Department, right?
Right.
And so she must have, any common, you know, sense would tell her that there could be a contemplated proceeding over Benghazi. In other words, there wouldn't even have to have been announced an investigation, just that there might be. That she wasn't supposed to do this. So that's going to be the more dicey one. But the one, you know, where she saw, oh, I didn't know what was going on. You know, a little, basically that's how she got out of, remember when she was at the grand jury before? I didn't know. I don't recall.
It's just amazing how everybody, it seems like in Washington, no one knows anything. It's, I didn't know. I didn't know. But, you know, in this Benghazi situation, now the day they mentioned they have some emails, again, that is, they believe, are confidential emails related to Benghazi. Now, yep. I think what's exciting is, in October, we have the Benghazi hearings, right?
Yep.
And I just hope the Republicans don't do advertising there is spend a whole time, you know, breaking her down. You know, I mean, you know, I don't want any, some guy, hi, I'm so-and-so from Iowa, and I'm, hey, right. Keep quiet. We want to break the lady down, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get the truth for all those poor individuals that were killed over there because of, we'll find out what.
Let's just say any Democratic big money donors and any Democratic elite and echelon and intelligentsia and establishment types, if they weren't worried about Hillary Clinton yesterday, they are quaking in their boots today. You better believe they are, because that little performance yesterday demonstrated that she knows that she's in big trouble, and her only way out is to play stupid. Now, see, the flip side of that is political suicide.
It should be suicide.
It
the public
is.
Can read that so obviously.
And any good, you know, astute Republican could use this against her should she get the nomination, because she's supposed to be the smartest
Secretary
woman
of State,
and
right?
The smartest woman in the world. Remember all that business, right? She's so smart, she's so bright, and all she can do here is to tell us how stupid she is. What, wipe it with a cloth? I don't understand how these things work. Yeah, so now she's a ditzy blonde?
Well, Chris, she did fail the Washington bar. That's a fact.
Well, she's also failing in her run for presidency.
Miserably.
Miserably. And the big money donors are going to start looking elsewhere.
Oh, I can.
And once again, this brings into focus who else?
Crazy Joe.
Well, he is a viable candidate. And unfortunately, he would give the Republican nominee a pretty good run for his money for a couple of reasons. The Democratic base would come home to him. They would be relieved to have someone who they didn't have to worry about if they were going to go to jail. And by the way, Bob Woodward considers some of her behavior to be Nixon-esque, right? And then you have Barack Obama, who would put, I believe, his full force and his organization behind a Joe Biden
but
candidacy.
I think that really the big negative there is all Joe is Obama at the hip, you know, in the sense that don't you think everybody's fed up with the economy? Everybody's fed up with the executive order. To me, I look at Joe and just go, that's just Obama Jr.
I understand. I understand that. You would have thought that that logic would have worked against, you know, with Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with who the Republicans make as their candidate.
That will be the
That's
big
why
factor.
It is so very crucial that we don't just put up any old Republican. If we put up any old Republican, we're going to get the same old results. It's as simple as that. This is the sad fact. Their candidate doesn't have to be all that smart. All he has to do is be a pretty good politician. That's how lousy the Republicans have been.
Well, he has,
and we can't do it again.
He has both qualifications. He's not that smart, and he is a good politician. So you know what? He may have a high level achievement in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see.
All right, please don't go away. We still got a whole lot to go tonight. And don't forget, the Rays are playing at 8 o'clock, so we got the full 2 hours on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
So you going to sing along with this one?
Oh. Pretending that you're still around to be what I'm not. I'm pretending a lot. Pretending that Hillary's still a clown.
No, we're not pretending. Oh, thanks. Thank you for that. I'll remember next time to ask you if you're going to sing. You will. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. So you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We are live. That means you can call us. 407-774-8255 is the number. That is Mike McBath, union boss, chairman of the board.
Former DJ.
Former DJ, yeah. Actually used to hang out up there with the Jersey Boys, right?
They played in the bar where I was a bouncer. And it was Tony March, Bay Shore. There was another one called Dunes Till Dawn. That's where this whole group got started in the mid-60s because of Dick Clark and Bandstand.
Yeah.
And we did have the Jersey Boys playing there, and you know, during that one period I was there. So you met a lot of interesting people, and that's where I got all my voice training.
I see why they made you the bouncer. All right, welcome back. As I said, the government has made released some interesting information about student loans. I think we're finding out that the government has become basically a loan shark. With these student
taking
loans.
Taking advantage of the public.
Yeah, there's 8 million student loans in default. The amount that students owe on these loans is just, it's extraordinary.
Let me give you some figures here. Here's a real scary figure. The amount of student loans runs at about $1.4 trillion. Now, this is the second largest debt that the government's holding. Okay, now watch this. This last quarter, 11.4% of them defaulted. Well, you know what? Not good, right? Not good at all. Does this remind you of the housing situation? But here's the most horrifying things about it. Many students take loans out over $300,000. Who could be that irresponsible, both on the parent that signs off, on the student, on the people making the loan? And again, this is the public's money. That's why... you know, it irks me a great deal because this is all the taxpayers' money. Then the other thing is, you'll love this. I mentioned that there's 1.8 million American students who have a loan of $100,000 or more. And, you know, what's happening here is they're being encouraged to take these loans by, guess who?
The government.
Simple answer. You're right, the government.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Obama is a big part of this because he forgets about what is called personal responsibility. You know, these kids think that, oh, they don't even know what money is. You know, I got money for my car, I got money for my courses, I got money for this. Well, wait till you start paying this back and see how it damages your life. But the real problem there, you know, again, is the fact that we have 1.4 trillion sitting out there, and if this default goes higher and higher, this is going to be a complete mess to the American taxpayer.
who ultimately has to pick up the tab is, of course, the American taxpayer.
Right.
And but it's I call it loan sharking because they get the student pretty much into a situation where they can't pay it off.
No.
So it's this perpetual making payments, or the loan is marked down, and the taxpayer ends up getting stuck. But one way or another, the loan just doesn't get repaid, and so it's
the other thing, Chris, which you know,
and the student never really gets out under from underneath the debt.
If you work in the public sector or in a nonprofit area, you don't have to pay the loan back after 20 years. Now, wait a second. If the most you can pay is 10,000 or 10% of what you earn,
this is one of the new rules.
So let's say I earn, I'm using an example, 50,000, and I pay 5,000, right? Well, after 20 years, how much is 20 times 5? Well, that's 100, right? Well, you know, you owe me another 200,000, and the interest, you owe me about 500,000. Who eats that loan?
That's it.
It's you, the American people. And that's why I say we have to get, you know, this irresponsibility, the fact that this isn't addressed, you know, even, you know what? I bet you Trump would address this. And I bet you most people, if they understood it, would, number one, stop taking some of these loans, and number two, get this problem corrected, because this is just going to be an absolute financial disaster at some point. But 11.4% default, bad news, bad, bad news.
And see, this is what, now that you mention that, and we'll talk a little bit more about him later on, but this is a reason why I think, another reason why I think the establishment doesn't like him, is that he brings attention to problems that need to be addressed.
That aren't
they just,
being addressed, but because of they're so scared of all the people they're in debt to.
They have their own schedule, and they don't want to deal with it now, or they don't ever want to deal with it. But this is what... see, a lot of people think that to be qualified for president, you have to have had a long political career and all of this, or you had to have been a governor and have some executive experience. Well, this man has executive experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Running corporations. That is executive experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Truman said something about the presidency that pretty much every president has found out on his own if he didn't know it going in. And he said and he said he was a bit shocked by it because he thought when he got in there, you know, he was going to be able to bark orders and people would, you know, do what he wanted. He said what he found out was that the main responsibility of the president, that his main job, I mean, other than his constitutional responsibility, but what he had to do as a president day to day was to be a salesman.
Without a doubt. Sales and motivation.
Sales and motivation. Now, of this whole crowd, who is the best salesman and motivator of them all?
Don Trump.
That's right.
I get a Scott Miller t-shirt for that.
All right, we'll have to hit him up for one here in just a second. But... So, yeah, but to get back to the student loan thing, this is a huge problem.
It's the second largest debt held by our government.
And part of the problem is because the government now is in the business of making these loans. The colleges...
They love it.
They continue to jack
because
up the tuition.
Because you can keep moving the tuition.
Right.
I would really like to see, because you know how we, the hallowed Ivy League. You know, I would love to see how many loans they have out for $200,000 and $300,000 to their students. And, you know, imagine how much will not be paid because they're usually the ones that think they can outthink everybody. I wonder where that default comes from, that 11.4%.
Yeah, well.
It'd be very interesting.
You're right about that. And, of course, probably a lot of that default, though, is people who aren't finishing their college and getting their degree. They get these big loans. They get $40,000, $50,000, $70,000 worth of loans and have mm-hmm. 2.5, 3 years of college under their belt. Mm-hmm. So that then they can't go out and get the job that requires the college degree, but they have the college debt. And so they're really stuck. And so they're probably a good percentage of the ones who default too. It's a downward spiral. And of course, Hillary Clinton's idea is to give you a free college education for at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that's going to entice you to go on. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to get you with the loan sharking again.
Right.
So it's like, you know.
You know what's funny, though? If you look at tuitions and stuff, and normally if you take the South, most of the schools in the South really are substantially less than the schools in the northeast corner, you know, from the Washington up to New York area, expense-wise.
Right.
And I would have to bet that the great majority of all those loans are concentrated up there, and it's a case like going to UCF and some of the state schools here, I think, is relatively inexpensive for the quality of the education.
Oh, no doubt about that.
And I think where this whole thing harbors it up, is up in that area. And sort of suspicious to me that, geez, everything's going great in Washington, right? The wealthiest city in the world right now. Well, maybe not, man. Those loans, I think, can just be catastrophic to the economy at some point when we all of a sudden realize the money's not coming back.
No. And these are debts in the amounts that these people could be buying houses.
Oh, right? Yeah. And without a doubt. So, you buy a company.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it sets them back. So they can't buy houses. They can't begin the process of living out the American dream, if you will, working their way up through the economy by owning property, building up assets. No, because they are paying off the loan shark.
And you know that they don't understand the value of what it's going to take to pay back $200,000 or $300,000. You know, a young man coming out of college or a young woman, the jobs aren't absolutely great out there, and it's going to take forever. Then if you don't work within the government system, which who wants to work within that? If you don't, then you're stuck for the whole loan. Unless what? You default.
You default.
And I'm sure Obama's going to write a booklet up soon on how to default on the loans, you know, so all the hardworking people can take care of it.
He'll put out the pamphlet.
Right, that's right. They'll be dropped from little plane, or actually from drones. You know, flying around.
Right. Well, at least the Fed has spoken today, and it appears they will not raise interest rates in September. At least they hinted they may not, I guess, right?
Well, I think the hint came not only verbally, but as we've always talked about in the past, you take a look again at the 10-year Treasury, and you notice at the beginning of the day, the 10-year Treasury was at 2.22. By the end of the day, after the Fed spoke, it was at 2.11. Well, that's a pretty dramatic drop in yields. It doesn't sound like much, but what it really indicated was for all those who really predicted that the Fed is going to raise rates in September, I don't think so. The market is saying no, no.
And of course, why should they? The economy is still mired. And
that was their statement is like, we're not sure. I love that statement. That sounds like typical out of Washington.
Oh,
we're not sure. Well, no kidding. Go ask the guy running his company how everything's going. Not quite like it should.
And, of course, they've got to be watching what's going on in China as well.
Oh, I mean, again, today I got up this morning, and the Chinese market was up about 1.3, but after a 6% drop, not good. And so, again, we'll see how this week finishes out. And China really is, you know, one of the major points of where our economy goes to. If all of a sudden they just capitulate, it's going to be a bit difficult, at least in the market, I'm sure.
Right. Real quickly, got some numbers from Dr. K, and of course, he's a professor out at UCF. He said average debt 4 years at UCF, $72,000.
And that's a school that's relatively inexpensive.
And that's the state amount.
Yeah.
In-state amount.
And if you have an average over 3.0 or something, you get the Bright Scholars and all that, you know, which keeps your tuition down tremendously. You know, I know my son had a, I used to call him Mr. 3.000000. I mean, he'd always come right in there where he could keep his scholarship, you know, but boy, don't give any more extra ever, right? You know,
right,
but,
yeah.
But I'm just saying it's a very, I think, a very compatible school to an individual paying tuition for their children, and it's a good school.
It is, but still, $72,000. Thanks, Dr. K. All right, let's take a break. We got Scott Miller on the line. When we come back, he's got some more poll numbers for us from a gun show here locally, and I think a fair in Ohio or somewhere. He'll tell us. Don't go away, please. That's right. You got the American Adversaries, and we're still here, and we're still live. Of course, we will be until 7 o'clock tonight. The Rays are playing at 8. Pre-game show starts at 7:30. All right, we got Scott Miller on the line with us right now. Let's go to Scott. Scott, of course, is the man with My Liberty Threads. You can find his shirts and now hats, too, at MyLibertyThreads.com. Scott, how you doing? You still in town tonight?
I am still in town. Just got done wrapping up with the gun show over the weekend here at the Orlando Fairgrounds.
How was the crowd, Scott?
It was a pretty good crowd. You know,
I love going to these gun shows. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. I can't believe, like, when they have them at the fairgrounds and different places, how many people show up.
Oh,
I mean, it's just you can't even get a parking place. And that's why you realize, geez, maybe you need a gun. I mean, everybody. It is absolutely insane. But, I mean,
it's a great place to spend a weekend. It really is.
It really is. But, I mean, when you see the vast amount of weaponry, I mean, I didn't even know those things existed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of them made right here in Central Florida, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, did you do your poll at the gun show this weekend?
We did the poll, and it was pretty interesting. I'll tell you, it came down to just three candidates. Trump ran away with it again. Trump had 52% of the votes.
Wow.
And then the only other two that really had much mention, we had Ben Carson came in at 16% and Cruz came in at 14%.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, I'm noticing an absolute trend. There are a couple things that are happening everywhere that we're polling. Trump has won or tied for all six states now that we've polled in. And the only other candidate that's finished in the top three in all six states is Ted Cruz. He's finished second or third in every state. And then the other thing is just the absolute disappearance. Jeb Bush didn't have a single vote out of 42 people at the gun show.
And this is here in Central Florida.
42 people, wow.
Here in Central, but even bigger than that. Okay, the Ohio State Fair finally wrapped up last weekend. So before, I only had the first half of the fair's numbers. And our poll is a little skewed because we spend more time. There's 900,000 people at the Ohio State Fair, and now all the fairs are starting. So Ohio has a pretty big percentage of our total votes. But in Ohio, out of 288 people walking around the fair, Jeb Bush received 5 votes. I mean, it's just astonishing. And I'm not doing this to try to be bashing.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, what scares me is I think Jeb is just, he's there in case everything goes wrong. But, you know, Jeb, what are you going to do? You got to get some personality. You got to get some fire.
Indeed. And so with the totals from the Ohio, what was the top three there?
And in Ohio, in order, it was – now, remember, Ohio is skewed, but we're not making numbers. We're just reporting numbers.
Right.
Because John Kasich is from Ohio.
Correct.
So
right.
Trump got 39% of the votes. Kasich got 14.5%, and Cruz got 12.5%.
Okay, well, at least he did better in his home state than Jeb did in his home state, right? Talking about Kasich.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, when you realize Kasich's pretty popular in Ohio, and he's beaten that bad by Don Trump in his own state?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm.
And again, I'm hearing the same thing from the customers. They want somebody that's going to speak their mind, that isn't a career politician. You know, it's... And I think that's part of why Ted Cruz is also being able to capitalize on this. If people are constantly hearing that message, and maybe if they aren't a Trump guy, at least they're looking for another candidate that won't back down. And I think people are starting to really pay attention to Cruz, which I think is going to make for a very interesting race as this gets closer.
Well, Trump tweeted today that he would consider Ted Cruz as a vice presidential candidate on his ticket should he be nominated. Michael Medved's all apoplectic about it.
I can imagine.
I heard Medved interviewing Cruz today, and it sounded like he was in pain. I got to tell you.
Yeah, he's an establishment guy. I mean,
he really is.
Yeah, and I like Michael Medved, and he's a good guy. He is, and he's a brilliant man, and he's been very gracious. He was very gracious to Lara and I when we met him face-to-face at the Republican National Convention. He came over and sat in on the show for a while, even joked around with us afterwards and got me in a headlock, you know, for a picture. So, you know, he's a great guy, but he's of the opinion that politics is should be a noble sort of high pursuit in life, if you will, and, you know, and can't, you know, come to embrace somebody that is willing to get down and dirty in the gutter.
I sometimes look at them as beltway politicians.
It kind of is, and that's where he came from. I mean, he came
right.
through.
That's what I'm saying is I think he's, you know, the thing with Trump,
but,
too.
But see, that's been part, let me just say this, but that's been part of the problem with the Republicans, especially the Bushes, is that you have to be willing to get down and dirty in the mud and mix it up with the other side because they are going to take you there whether you like it or not. So you may as well be willing to go there and fight when you get there. And that's what people see in him. Go ahead, Mike.
Chris, I mean, don't you think, too, like in Trump's case, even Mike myself, longtime businessman, well-educated, I sit there, and I would love to see him there because, I mean, some of these people in Washington, it's such an ineptness and such corruption. I actually believe, and I might be as naive as the day is long, but I think a lot would be cleaned up. And I think that itself is what's driving votes to him, even though he hasn't talked about, I'd put this in jail, I'd do that. You know, we got to clean this mess up. We just can't have one inept person after another running all these government agencies. So I think there's a lot of momentum going toward Trump. And like as Cruz, I think Cruz would be the right default candidate. If something goes wrong, you know, then the public might come right into Cruz and say, well, you know what? He's our man. Don liked him. He's our man. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you that I think Cruz has the stability. He is so grounded in the Constitution.
Yep.
That he isn't going to slip up and say what he didn't mean or have something come out the wrong way. This isn't, none of the things he's been speaking about the next 12 months is something he isn't well versed on, you know. And I think that makes him a very solid person because he's very committed to doing the right thing for our country. And I think that's going to play out. Where that takes him, I don't know. Not everybody agrees with what they think is the right thing for the country is what he does. But it's going to be interesting.
But maybe that's what's good is that everybody doesn't agree. The problem with all politicians are trying to always walk in the middle and nothing gets accomplished.
Well, I told Chris, I was next to the Republican booth at the Virginia State Fair, and I had a 9-day argument. And it was a discussion, but going back and forth with this one lady who was convinced that the Republicans needed to move to the middle to win elections, and then they can govern as they see fit. And I'm telling her, no, the base needs to be fired up by true people that are true conservatives. And if that isn't good enough, we've lost it anyways. But it's just got to happen.
Yeah. You know,
there was one other funny thing that I think, a little thing that happened at the gun show, if you guys have a second for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. There was one kid. He came over to vote. He's probably about 20, 21, 22 years old. And he voted. He put it in. I told him, just easy. You throw the name on the paper. You throw it in the box. And then afterwards, he started talking to me about politics, and he asked me who I liked, and we talked for a little bit. And then I asked him who he liked. He said, you know, a lot of people my age are talking a lot about this Bernie Sanders. So I'm kind of ready to maybe think about giving him a try and such. And I was able to listen to him and what he liked about what he had heard good things about Bernie Sanders. And then I just brought up the simple fact of, do you like someone whose idea it is to make sure that thinks the government is there to balance who makes what, to make sure that they take from people that are successful enough they can afford it and give to people who aren't. And if you think that your candidate believes that the government isn't doing a good enough job of that, and that's what he stands for, then Bernie Sanders is your man. And I said, all I said was, do you have a job? Do you work? And he said, I work hard. And all of a sudden, just clicked with him.
Yeah, wrong guy.
It's just one little thing.
Yeah.
But it's up to us right now, to anybody that we're able to touch, to reach, to talk to, and you can point out, you know, nobody pointed out to him what socialism meant. You know, that's life. Nobody had
yeah, it's just a story yet. To these younger kids. You need to give them examples just like you did, you know, to bring them back to reality. And that's exactly how I think, that's why you have talk radio, is just to try to bring reality to the people and explain to them what some of these terms mean that these politicians are flipping around knowing you don't know what they mean.
Hey Scott, I got a real quick question for you. We just have a few seconds, but you're a pretty big fellow. What are you, about 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah, about 6'2".
Okay. You want to get in on the spaghetti eating contest? But anyway, I know you're going to come out and join us if you're in town.
What's the day for it again?
September 28th.
I hope I can make it. I'll definitely don't shoot much before then.
All right. Okay. All right. Cool. And we'll get some My Liberty Threads t-shirts for our contestants. All right, once again, Scott Miller, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good talking to you guys.
All right. And Scott will keep us updated as he does more of these informal little surveys around the country. But they turn out to be pretty accurate, it seems like. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Please check out his book, Mercury Free, when you head over there. All right, we're live. I'm Christopher Hart, along with the union boss. That'd be Mike McBath. We got Pete Paquette on the bridge again tonight, so we're in good hands. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, all you have to do is call us at 407-774-8255. Pete will take good care of you. It's some nasty weather blowing in out there, so if you're heading out on the road, allow yourself a little extra time. If you don't have to go out on the road right now, you might want to wait another half hour or an hour. Just sit back and listen to us and let the weather calm down a bit out there. All right, we got a lot to be get fired up about, though. First hour of the show, we talked about Hillary. She spoke in this press conference yesterday where I believe she revealed her legal strategy going forward as she faces more and more legal problems, and that is to basically play stupid. I don't know. I don't know about that. I didn't know. I don't. Nobody told me.
I know. F Troop. I know nothing. I say nothing. I know no one.
That's her, all right. F Troop. That's about the size of it. We also talked about student loan debt. It's outrageous. $72,000 is the average debt for a student at UCF.
And I mean, some of these loans over $300,000. I wonder what college they went to.
I know.
They went to the same college Obama did, Columbia, yeah. Harvard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And $300,000 student debts.
We got some more poll numbers from our man Scott Miller at a local gun show and then also from Ohio State Fair. And once again, Trump's blowing away all the competition. And Cruz is right there also in these polls, but Trump is by far ahead, pretty much mimicking or very similar, at least, to the CNN and Fox poll numbers. And by the way, there's CNN released some more poll numbers today, their most recent nationwide poll. And once again, it's good news for Trump. He has gone from being trounced in a head-to-head matchup by Hillary Clinton to being pretty close to within the margin of error. She still beats him, but this is the bad news for Republicans. She still beats Scott Walker. She still beats Jeb Bush. She still beats Marco Rubio. She still beats everybody.
I know. You know, it's amazing, though, Chris, like, Trump started like zero against her,
right?
And now he's just about caught up to her.
Well, he is,
and the rest are just stationary.
He and Scott Walker are the closest.
Right.
They would each lose to her by 6 percentage points. And what's amazing to me is she gets over 50% in all of these poll numbers.
Right.
Which tells me that they're not exactly accurate.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy that story at all.
No, I don't either. But what I do buy is that Donald Trump is now moved up to be seen as a bona fide, legitimate candidate, regardless of what all the Ahabs out there want to say about him. He's too vulgar, or he's been changing his positions, and he's been doing this, he's been doing that. At the end of the day, there's a lot of people, I'm here to tell you, that don't care.
Now, Chris, did you see the Huffington Post? They're still categorizing him and doing his stories in the entertainment section.
Which is,
I categorize the magazine junk, so we can all do our own categorization, right?
This is, once again, why I say politics is a whole lot like professional wrestling. It has that element of entertainment because it's dramatic. There's a lot of drama involved in it, and most of the drama is created. It's not sincere, you see? So it all fits together. That's fine if they want to do that. Maybe the rest of them should do the same thing.
No, and I think when you watch Trump, too, I call it somewhat fun. You know, I mean, you're waiting for him to make some of these outlandish statements. You know he doesn't really mean what he said. You ought to be able to interpret that. But, but he still gets down to the points that the American people want to hear. But I love it when he goes, oh, everybody loves me. Everybody loves me. You know, the cats, the dogs, you know, women. That's crazy, but it's hilarious.
What's not to love, right? You know, all right, let's go to Stan, who's on the line right now. Stan, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good afternoon, Chris.
Are you okay, Stan?
I don't know. It's been a long day. Anyway, quick comment. No university or college should get any federal money. They should all be like Hillsdale College, have to compete in the marketplace. I mean, I remember back in the late 80s, Berkeley got umpteen hundreds of thousand dollars for to do germ research for the federal government. I protested against it. I was living there at the time in San Francisco. So anyway, that would solve the problem and also cut all salaries. I mean, why is someone making $400,000 for teaching one course at Harvard and they're turning out beanheads like Obama and Hillary, who are not that swift? Obama's got about 100 word vocabulary. I haven't seen any prodigious intellect from him.
He can read well, though, Dan. You know that.
He can read that teleprompter.
And he's a good actor.
Yeah.
So
he's a fairly good actor. But and you mentioned about drama. The thing is, Donald Trump has drama plus substance. He really did rise from being middle class. His dad was a middle class developer to being a very, very wealthy person, a very successful person. So he's got the executive experience to run this government and to say to those beanheads at the EPA, who just polluted that lake in Colorado,
the river.
Commerce and education, you're fired. Those are the words I want to hear. You know?
You're absolutely right.
He has that same attitude I'm talking about. I really hope when the guy goes there, and I believe if he goes there, he's going to fire people, and I hope some of them they go to jail.
They should.
I mean, what's taking place with Hillary? I just can't believe this goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't you people pinpoint this and, put this person away?
But you're dealing with the Clintons. They didn't call him Slick Willie for nothing. Hey, Stan, thanks for being out there. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, and speaking of that disaster that the EPA created out there in Colorado, you got some numbers on how much it's going to cost
Chris,
to fix that.
This will make you...
And by the way, it's going to cost the EPA this to fix it, because they promised that they would fix it, right?
But the EPA is made of people... And you and me, it's called tax money, right?
That's right. We pay the
bill,
right?
The bill they estimate, this is an estimate, so that means it's probably going to be twice this. The bill is $28 billion. Does that make anybody sick? Another government agency performing for you, the American people.
That's not $28 million.
Billion.
To fix this.
I know. I thought I read it wrong, too. And then what I was thinking, what we ought to do is take all the top employees, McCarthy and all of them, and make them camp out there along the river for 2 weeks, get all their drinking water, and make sure they all
take a swim
every day.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the 2 weeks, we'll put lights on them, see if they look like a light bulb.
I'd be able to light up those old black light posters you got in your closet.
They'll probably be like a nuclear bulb. That's
my goodness.
But I mean, isn't that pathetic? $28 billion mistake. Oh, that's no big deal. Just write that one off. And then they'll go after and ruin. And, you know, we're talking about this EPA rulings that are what they're trying to push into the coal, which we'll get there, in the coal area. You know, they're talking about $340 billion lost in the coal industry.
Right.
Isn't that just horrible?
Well, now maybe or maybe not. Now, as I said
earlier
in the show, I have a new nickname. You know how I like to come up with nicknames for people. And this one's for George Soros. I think we're going to start calling him Mr. Peabody.
Yeah.
And you want to tell everybody why?
Yeah, very appropriately. George Soros, who's an individual who runs, and I know the name well, unfortunately, he runs a huge hedge fund. He's put countries in trouble by the way he can short and go long currencies with lots and lots of money.
Like he did Britain.
And here is a guy, and many people have claimed this. This isn't my opinion. You know, Obama is nothing but a puppet for Soros. And one of the areas that Soros has contributed substantial money is for greening, right?
Green energy.
That's exactly right. And he is so against the coal industry. You know, he has spent millions upon millions destroying the coal industry in the sense of advertising. The groups of people don't want the coal industry.
He supports
anti-fossil,
he supports these green groups who sue and protest and all that.
Now, this must be a man of commitment. Don't you think so?
Well, obviously.
Wrong.
He's committed to the green back.
He's committed to the green back, not the green life.
Right.
But what happened is the other day they found out that George Soros was a major buyer of Archer Coal.
Yep.
And Peabody Coal. And Peabody Coal, when he started pounding Peabody with him and his little clan and the Obama clan.
Yeah, when Mike says pounding, you mean beating them down.
Beating them up, you know, using every source you can. Peabody Coal was at $90 a share. And guess what? I think he's buying it around $1.
A dollar a share?
A dollar. Peabody Coal.
He bought.
And because, wait a second, but that's a coal company, and he's against coal. Oh, wait a second. He's taking, he believes, a great opportunity to make what? Money. Yeah, there's a guy, a true, he fits in, you know, with Al, you know, our buddy Al, who was a great.
Who knows? Maybe he listens to the American adversaries, because what's the investment philosophy that we pursue around here? When it's good, it's bad.
When it's good, it's bad. And when it's bad, it's good.
So
or it win is. If you can, lose if you must, but always, always cheat. No, that's not our philosophy at all.
Oh, but he obviously is looking for to make some money.
Right.
And fairly.
And you know what's funny? Since that, which I don't think is funny, but since that article came out and, you know, the public became aware of it, both stocks have popped. And the reason is, it's somewhat self-fulfilling, because they see this guy in there, they know his stance, so they all feel, you know what, if George is there, I'm there. Well, he automatically probably doubled and tripled. I didn't check him today. I didn't want to.
And then he's quietly starting to cash out.
Of course.
Probably.
You know, now I wonder what industry he's going after next.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So stick around with us. We got a whole lot more to talk about. And of course, you can join us as well at 407-774-8255. Please don't forget to join us at our spaghetti eating contest. And we got a lot more stuff that's going to be exciting going on that night, too. Can't tell you about it yet, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And that'll be Monday, September the 28th. And please plan on being there. If you'd like to make reservations at Cafe Positano, we'll be doing a live remote broadcast there starting at 5. You can call them, 407-774-8080, and reserve that table. We'll see you there.
Welcome back. I'm Mike McBath. I'm here with Christopher Hart. And actually, Hacksaw is one of my best friends. You know, every time he comes to Orlando, he stays over at the house. And he is a wild and crazy guy. But actually, as I've mentioned in the past, he's an amazing individual. I mean, he's actually written books and things of that nature.
He actually reads them,
too. I know.
Too.
He can read them. And I think he'd be too educated for Washington. But I always laugh because, you know, as I say, Axel looks like a very rough, difficult individual. But once you know the guy, you know, he's a graduate of SMU. I know his mm-hmm. children got, like, Ivy League scores on the SATs and everything. But, you know, it's great to have a guy out there, because actually he's extremely polite. You know, he's the type of person really represents society well. As funny as it may sound, this guy is as sharp as it gets, and it's great to see an athlete like that. Now, I know some people, but remember, he actually played in the NFL 1 year.
Yeah.
He played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
He was a guard, and, you know, like a lot of these professional wrestlers, he got hurt, and then, you know, they had to turn around, and he eventually got into wrestling and obviously made the Hall of Fame, which is great for him.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, folks, the weather is real nasty out there, so if you don't have to go out on the road, you might want to wait around for a while. And if you are out there on the road, please allow yourself some extra time to get where you're going. We want you to get there safe and sound. And the UN has released some information today, which the administration does not deny. In fact, as far as they're concerned, this is just fine. And that is that one of the side deals, the ancillary deals, I guess you could call
them. There's two of them, right, Chris?
Two, yep. One of them is between the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, UN agency. One of those deals is between them, and they're between Iran and the IAEA. One of them allows that Iran will monitor itself in terms of compliance to this agreement. In specific, it has to do with if there is a complaint or if there is a charge that nuclear activity is going on at a site which is already not known or predetermined. Instead of someone going in to find out what's going on, the Iranians will be allowed to go and find out what's going on and then report back to the IAEA.
Now, Chris, as you said that, I must not be understanding this right, because it sounds like the Iranians, who we don't trust, right, they do the report on how they're constantly cheating us, And then they alter report, they hand it back to the IA, we'll call it, and then that comes to us, and we all go, oh, that must be the truth.
Of course.
Did I understand this right? Because when I
read that,
I'm thinking, I can't read or think anymore. That can't be right.
Pretty much, you got it. They will be...
I wished I didn't have it.
They will be the final say, the final voice, if you will. If there is suspected nuclear activity going on in a site that wasn't already designated, they will be the ones who will be sent to investigate themselves and then report on their activity. And there will be no one that will be there to check on their credibility or accuracy.
Now, Chris, under Sharia law, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't you allowed to lie? And that you can do that as long as it promotes the direction they want to go. Is that not true?
I believe you're just talking about something they call taqiyya.
Yeah.
Where they are allowed to enter into pledges and agreements and
so
documents.
So they just get a bunch of them in there, send them in, and here we go.
Right. As long as you're lying to the infidel, it's okay. So we have now allowed that they will be able to lie more effectively to us because there will be no way to verify because they will be the verifiers of their lie.
Mm-hmm.
This is how absurd this whole thing is. And it can't just be Barack Obama. Obviously, he's the head of the fish that stinks, and it stinks from the head down. But there's a lot of other people who negotiated this deal, too, and not a one of them ever got up and walked out and said, this is just totally absurd. I am not going to have my reputation and my name anywhere associated with this. And then many of them could have done that. No, they just went right ahead and made a deal, which is no deal at all.
Right. It's just giving money to them. They're going to build their forces. And it fits in with Valerie Jarrett's ambitions for the Middle East.
In a deal, it's a swap. You know, you give and you get, right? It's I give you something, you give me something. That is a deal. This is not a deal because it is totally one-sided. It is a total giveaway, a total capitulation to the Iranians. And if nothing else spells it out as loudly and clearly as this.
And Chris, you know what's funny is we're giving them the $150 billion, right? They're not giving us the
$150. No.
You would think that, well, okay, they're giving us $100. Oh, no, wait a second. We're giving them the $150 billion.
I got it
straight now.
See, technically speaking, we're not giving them anything.
We're allowing
them to access their assets. Right. But we don't have to do that. This was why they came to the table, is because we basically cut off their ability to do banking around the world. That's why their assets are tied up. They can't move their assets. They can't access them because we have tied up the banking network. And we could still do that. And with little help from our European allies, we could still do serious damage to the Iranian banking network.
Right. And that's why I say, even if we turn this thing down, we can still punish them. But I wonder, too, do you think they're going to be bitter when they get the money for what we did to them? I think so.
Well,
I don't think they're ever going to be our friends.
Of course not. It's not in their DNA, so to speak, to be our friend. All right, coming up on a break, so let's go ahead and take Al's phone call rather than keep him waiting. Al, thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. If a Republican get voted in, what are they going to do about Iran?
Well, that's a good question. Some of them have said they would tear this deal up, but haven't said what they would do in response. I think the most thoughtful response to that question has come from Donald Trump, who said, look, by the time I take office, it's already going to have taken effect. I can't just tear the deal up. He said, but what I will do is I will go over that contract like I go over all my contracts, and I will find out something in that contract that we can use to our advantage. that may be a fruitless search.
I know. Do you think there's anything in there?
But in essence, what he is saying is, as far as this deal goes, then there's going to be very little the next president can do about it because it's already going to be in effect. Having said that, I also believe that his intent to build up the military and strengthen our military and Israel's military will be an attempt to box, if you will, Iran in. But this deal is going to make a huge problem for the next president because of the very question you just asked, Al. What are you going to do? Because the problem just got 10 times worse, if not 100 times. Do you have a solution for your own question?
I like the deal so far. I mean, I know that you guys criticize it all day, but I think if the next president, be it a Republican or a Democrat, just leave it alone and see what happens, then. But knowing that the Republicans' record of going to war was just for whatever reason, is, you know,
all right, well,
way
I see,
up there.
I understand your point, and I think that's pretty much what's going to happen. It's going to have to happen anyway. So, anyway, thanks, Al. Once again, excellent question. Thanks for the phone call. We got to take a break, but we will be right back.
But I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you still got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, Christopher Hart still with you. Mike McBath is headed on down to Harry Buffalo's for the quote-unquote meeting tonight with the NFL former players. Pete Paquette's still on the bridge, and he pulled up the old Helter Skelter tune for me here because I want to talk about the butchers, and I don't mean the Manson family butchers. I mean the butchers over at Planned Parenthood. A new video was released today, and the horror show keeps getting scarier. I won't go into a lot of details because it is dinner time, but the new video is of a couple of, a technician talking. And this technician worked for one of the agencies that bought the material from the baby parts from Planned Parenthood. And she recounts an instance where she was there and she was witnessing the procedure. And they brought in a baby. I think she called it a fetus, but it was a baby. And she said it looked every bit like an infant. And the person performing the procedure tapped the infant on the chest and its heart started beating. So this was a living human being. And what happened next, what this person recounts, is the horror story. They were after the brain tissue. And while the heart was beating, they extracted the brain tissue of a human being. This is butchery. This is, how can we put Charles Manson and his family in prison for what they did, especially to Sharon Tate, right? Pregnant woman, what, eight, almost 9 months pregnant? Remember that part of it? She begged that they let her baby live. And they butchered her and the baby and the Folger family and several others. But at least it wasn't hundreds of thousands. And at least it wasn't the most helpless. And Charlie Manson is still in prison for that. I think that perhaps we should think about putting somebody in prison from Planned Parenthood. If what this person recounted today is true, that is murder. It's nothing short of murder. And I would say premeditated. This is not a manslaughter, you know, accident or something like that. Premeditated murder. Once that child's heart started beating, that child should have been taken to the hospital, and that child should still be alive. Instead, that child's brain was extracted in a horrific fashion. can't sit by idly and allow this sort of thing to go on without trying to put a stop to it. And I don't mean violence. That's not what I'm talking about. That will not solve this problem. What will solve this problem is to demand that it stop, to demand that it no longer be legal to do anything of this nature. I'm sorry. It is not worth the quote-unquote research benefits if this is what we have to do to get those benefits. It is not worth it. It's not worth it. Now, having said that, there was a planned protest, or Planned Parenthood protest here in town at the offices of Bill Nelson and Alan Grayson the other day. And that we had a nice turnout for, but there's going to be another protest this weekend. I'd love to hear and see that we have much bigger turnouts. There'll actually be two of them here locally. One will be here in downtown Orlando, the downtown area, that is. It's actually right across the street from the Citrus Bowl at 726 South Tampa, Tampa Avenue over there. And that will be at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And please do come on out. And Irene Doyle is helping organize this. We want to once again thank her for her efforts. She'll have signs and things there, or you can bring your own sign. The main thing is just bring your own self and perhaps your family or friends. And to make the cry for the cessation of this louder and louder. And that's how we stop this. It can be done, and we have to do it. We cannot allow human beings to be dissected while they are alive in the name of research. How many people, even if you knew, for instance, now I come from a family who has a significant rate of Alzheimer's disease. Some people would say, oh, I already got it. But my aunt had it, and my mom had it. And both died from it. Horrific disease. But I guarantee you, if you asked either one, and if you asked me, if we could cure Alzheimer's disease by killing babies, I would say no. I'd rather have the doggone Alzheimer's disease. Heck, it's not going to bother me. I don't have the disease. I won't even know. Once I get past the first stages of it, the anxiety, every day is a new experience, right? So, no, we cannot allow this sort of thing to continue. We must demand that our political leaders put an immediate stop to this. There should be court orders around the country putting a moratorium on this sort of thing until we know more about it, at least. We didn't even know this was going on. But now that we do, there is no excuse for not demanding that it stop. There is no cause good enough for butchering live infants. None. And if we say that there is, how can we ever look in the mirror or look at anybody and say sincerely that we're any different from the Islamic State? Right? They cut off heads. Why, we open them up and take the brains out. Not much difference if you ask me. 10 a.m. Tampa Avenue, right across the street from the Citrus Bowl. That's here in Orlando, or in Kissimmee at 1 p.m. And the clinic down there is across the street from the Osceola Regional Medical Center. So if you don't know where that's at, it's at 610 Oak Commons Boulevard, or just go down there to Kissimmee and ask any old body. They'll tell you where it is. Osceola Regional Medical Center across the street at 1 p.m. And if you can't do that, please call your congressman or call Bill Nelson's office and demand that they end this practice. We cannot allow this to happen anymore. And by the way, if Planned Parenthood, the government wants to give Planned Parenthood money, I've got no problem with that. If they cease and desist doing any and all abortions. And if they want to continue to give pap smears and breast exams and contraception and counseling and advice, fine. Just no abortions. Zip, zero, nada. That will be the string. To get the federal money, you want the federal money? Fine. Here's the $500 million a year. All you have to do to get it is stop doing abortions. That's all. Just think of the overhead you'll now no longer have. You won't have to worry about selling baby parts to cover overhead or something. By the way, you're a nonprofit anyway. Right? Why aren't you giving these body parts away? No. Because you're, well, worse than Charlie Manson. At least Charlie Manson didn't cut up a bunch of parts from Sharon Tate and go out and sell them to somebody. Right? At least the Islamic State, when they cut people's heads off, they don't turn around and sell it for research and try to say that there's something good about it. At least they're more honest than the people at Planned Parenthood about who they are and what they're doing and why they are doing it. This organization was the tool of the devil from the very start. And we all know that this organization was started to do away with the dumb and the unwanted. And that was basically blacks, Jews, and people of feeble minds, if you will. That's what was started to do. And in a way, it's still doing it. And it should not be allowed to continue. This should be outlawed, it should be stopped, and it should have been done yesterday. And Mitch McConnell or anybody else that gets in the way needs to be pushed aside, politically speaking. So I don't know how it can get any worse, but we've been warned that it will. But it's something that we all must see and we all must know that it is going on so that we can stop it. It's kind of like, I think I mentioned this before on the show, it's kind of like after World War II when we had liberated Europe and found all the concentration camps, and Eisenhower ordered that the citizens that lived around those camps be forced to walk through those camps and see what had been done in those camps in their midst while they were gleefully ignorant, so that they would see what they had done, so that they would know what they had done, so that they would not do it again. Well, we're kind of doing that right now, only we still have a choice. You see, they didn't have a choice back then. Eisenhower did not let them have a choice. He said, "You're going to see what you did." The difference is we are seeing what we are doing, present tense, actively speaking. And we can no longer allow this to happen. Sit by silently and allow it to happen. Just can't do it. You know, if we didn't know about it, that's one thing. Now we know about it. That's another thing. Mitch McConnell knows about it. That's another thing. I don't know. This is to me so important that if I were Mitch McConnell, I would have the Senate in session, and lo and behold, if the Democrats wanted to hold a filibuster, I would have them sit there. I would have the whole Senate sitting in the chamber. I would have them there 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, even if it meant just sitting there looking at one another, twiddling their thumbs. Because the cause here, the situation here, demands immediate action. But they have to take their vacations. After all, it is August, and it's awful unpleasant in Washington, D.C. Well, I tell you what, we need to make it unpleasant for them in their own hometowns, too. All right, stick around. I'll be right back after this short break. And I'm back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, I want to thank you very, very much for being with us as I come to you live now on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Mike is ducked out to head on over to the NFL meeting, quote unquote, and I'll be joining him over there here shortly. And don't forget, all this week we will have the full 2 hours as the Rays are playing out west in different time zone. Real quickly also, don't forget, I would love to have you become an answer seeker. How do you do that? Real easy. Just go to am660theanswer.com. Seek out the Answer Seeker banner, click on there, become an Answer Seeker, and then make sure you take the Dreams Come True survey. You may win $5,000 just for taking this simple survey. It doesn't even take but a minute or two to take the survey. And they simply want to know what you think about the programming here on the station. And then they're going to ask you, who is your favorite host? And that's where you can do me or us a big favor around here at the American Adversaries. If you just type in American Adversaries or Christopher Hart of American Adversaries or just Christopher Hart, or if you like one of the other guys better, by all means, put their name in there. The whole point is to get them to wonder who we are, so they'll want to know more about us, all right? So please become an answer seeker by going to am660theanswer.com and then take the Dreams Come True survey, and maybe you would win $5,000. Wouldn't that be cool if someone in our listening audience won that $5,000? I tell you what, that'd be really cool stuff. And don't forget, you know, the kids are back in school this week. If you're in Seminole County next week, Orange or Osceola County, but that means it's time to get that half-price tuition deal, folks. And you can do that by going to AmazingRadioDeals.com. Half-price tuition at great Christian schools all over Central Florida, from Sanford down through Maitland, Orlando, Winter Park, all the way to Kissimmee. And half-price tuition is the way to go. And while you're at AmazingRadioDeals.com, check out the other half-price deals. You know, they got half-price kitchen and bathroom remodeling deals going on right now. So it is the best place to find the best deals. That's AmazingRadioDeals.com. All right. The poll numbers that came out from CNN, the most recent ones, as I said earlier, show that Donald Trump has moved up amongst the top tier of Republicans in a head-to-head match against Hillary Clinton. What is troubling about this poll, though, is that she still beats all of these Republicans. She beats Jeb Bush 52-43. She beats Scott Walker 52-46. And she beats Donald Trump 51-45. And so all I want to know is, who in the world are they polling, you know, to get these numbers? But for Hillary Clinton, I don't think that she would ever in her wildest imagination be able to get 51% of the popular vote. But having said that, she, I do believe, would still manage to bring in 45%, something like that, about the same percentage as her husband got both times. And of course, that managed to get him elected. But I don't think it's going to work for her this time, especially after that press conference yesterday where she's coming out and her defense is, I don't know anything. I'm too stupid to know that sort of stuff. And that just, I don't think, is going to work in this situation. It's too serious this time. There is too much precedent for people who have done this before, including General Petraeus, to suffer the legal consequences of their actions. It's going to be pretty hard for at least the Justice Department not to give this a serious investigation, which will put a serious dent in her ambitions to be president. So, That I believe, is yesterday, I believe, was the beginning of the end of her political career, if it didn't start before that. As far as the immigration debate goes, with Donald Trump's immigration paper out, the USA Today did a big old headline story. You know, everyone's first reaction to this was, oh, you know, this is an extreme approach of his. He wants to take all these, he wants to end the anchor baby policy. He wants to send all the illegals back. This is just an extreme position. Well, USA Today looked at the paper and reviewed most of the other Republican candidates' position on the same issue and discovered that Donald Trump's proposal, which was put together with a great deal of help from former Senator Jeff Sessions of Arkansas, is pretty much in the mainstream of Republican thought. And in terms of its popularity, it is widely popular. widely popular. And once again, though, we get the party poopers who come in and say, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, oh, yes, we can. Yes, we can end the anchor baby policy. And if it takes a constitutional amendment, maybe we should put that into motion. And in terms of sending the illegals back, we can slowly do that. We sure can. We can do these things. And that's what Donald Trump brings to the table. Once again, as I've said before, he brings that can-do attitude. And just think of how we are taken advantage of with our kindness. Think about it. You remember that guy El Chapo, the drug cartel leader who escaped from the prison recently and actually threatened Donald Trump? And by the way, I would take that threat seriously if I were the Trump people, very seriously, because he has the ability to carry it out. But do you know that we will be taking care of his babies? Yeah, that's right. Because he sent his wife or wives over the border to have their babies in the United States. And the reason he did it? So that we would take care of his babies for him. And he loves it. It's his thumb right in our eye. It should not be allowed to happen. If people are here illegally, they should not be allowed to have a baby, which then gives them some sort of right to stay here. I mean, they should be allowed to have the baby. I don't want to get anybody getting wrong ideas here. But once that baby is delivered and deemed healthy, they pack them on a bus, they send them home. No citizenship if they come here illegally. If they come here legally on a visa and have the baby, that's a different story. If they come here on a work permit and have the baby, that's a different story. If they come into this country illegally, they are criminals. They are fugitives. They would normally be pursued by the law in a more sane world. But instead, the law facilitates their criminal activity. It's got to stop. It's what Donald Trump is all about. That's what the public so desperately wants. All right, before I get out of here tonight, I want to thank Diane and Alan and Rita and John and Dixie and all of you folks out there who have sent me well wishes after my little kitty Cinnamon passed away this Friday. It really has been tugging at my heart. And so all of your wishes and your cards and things are really helping to lift my spirits. And I do very, very much appreciate that. And I just wanted to send out a special thank you to you for that. It's very special for me that you keep me in your thoughts and prayers like that. And it really humbles me. And I do once again want to thank you very, very, very much for that. All right. Now tomorrow, of course, Mike's going to be back in on the show. AmeriLeave Vacation Travel Planners is going to be here. We might even bring Don Ratliff, one of the other NFL players, in on the show for a while, too. But I certainly hope you will join us. And we're going to continue to put out the best news talk radio that we can do. And I want to thank you once again for encouraging me and sending me those thoughts and wishes. Once again, it means a whole lot to me. I just can't tell you how much it really does. And it's still kind of hard when I get home in the evenings to get out of the car and she's not sitting there, you know, waiting for me, bossing me around with those little meows. But I take comfort in what many of you have been saying, and that is that there is a heaven for animals. I do believe that, especially pets. I look at it this way, that when my time comes and I open up my eyes or wake up or whatever it is on the other side, if little Cinnamon is there, I'll know I'm in the right place. All right, folks, and you know you've been in the right place tonight. And don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow night, 5 o'clock live. And in the meantime, enjoy yourself. So I'm going to duck on out of here and head on downtown to Harry Buffalo's and partake of the meeting. Night, everybody. Take me down.